I invite you to take your Bibles and open them with me to Psalm 107 as we look at that psalm this morning as our Thanksgiving message. And as I read through this psalm in just a moment, there are two different refrains that are repeated four times each in this psalm. And so pay careful attention to that as we go through this psalm. But before we jump into God's word, let's turn to Him and ask Him for His blessing as we open up His word together. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, as we now turn our attention to your word, it's our prayer that you will give us your spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 107, beginning with verse 1, let's pay careful attention because this is God's holy word. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble, and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, and from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God, and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with no one to help, none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. For he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts into the bars of iron. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in songs of joy. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men, and they were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. Let him extol him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salty waste because of the evil of its inhabitants. He turns a desert into pools of water, a parched land into springs of water. And there he lets the hungry dwell, and they establish a city to live in. They sow fields and plant vineyards to get a fruitful yield. By his blessing they multiply greatly, and he does not let their livestock diminish. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, evil, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and makes them wander in trackless wastes. But he raises up the needy out of affliction and makes their families like flocks. The upright see it and are glad, and all wickedness shuts its mouth. Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. People of God, this psalm, Psalm 107, is often referred to as the Pilgrim's Psalm. And the reason for that is because our Puritan ancestors cherished this psalm as an appropriate and as a moving description of their experience coming across the Atlantic in the Mayflower, the persecution they faced before, and the new world that they faced after. Now, the Pilgrims, as many of you know, were Puritans. And what that means is that they were English Calvinists, descendants of the Reformation that took place in England. So, if you think of Europe, the result of the Reformation in Europe was Reformed churches. Well, the result of the Reformation that took place in England were the Puritans and eventually Presbyterian churches. Now, not only were they Calvinistic, but they have a little bit of a closer connection with us than even that, because these pilgrims first fled persecution in England and went across the English Channel and lived in the Netherlands for a while, spent some time in the Netherlands. Actually, the Pilgrim Fathers were in the Netherlands when the Synod of Dort took place. We're celebrating 400 years since the Canons of Dort were penned. And the pilgrims were living in the Netherlands during that time. They got there 1609 and they left for America, the New World, in 1620. Now the reason that they left the Netherlands is because they were troubled by the fact that their children were being influenced by Dutch customs and language. So I guess you have your ancestors to thank for sending the pilgrims on their way across the Atlantic and to the New World. But Psalm 107 was a psalm that resonated with them because it captures everything they went through. It describes their deliverance from homeless wanderings, from imprisonment and persecution that they faced, which they endured in Europe before coming to America, the dangers at sea. It's there in the psalm for the starvation and the deaths of family and friends. And so as they read this psalm, just like we read it this morning, they probably read it with tears of sorrow as they related to the trouble and the difficulty they went through. They probably also read it with tears of joy because of the deliverance that this psalm points to, the deliverance that is ours in the Lord. In its original setting, Psalm 107 is a praise for God's deliverance and redemption as he brings his people back together after they were exiled to Babylon. It's giving thanks because of God's deliverance. And so this morning, we'll briefly be looking at the trouble we face, the deliverance we experience, and the thanks that we give. And so first, the trouble that we face. Within this psalm, we have four pictures or four examples of trouble and suffering and hurt that we experience, either as the direct result of our weakness or inability, or as the direct result of our sin. The first is our own limitations. You have people wandering around in the desert. They're lost. Verse 4, some wandered in desert wastes, finding no city to dwell in. They're hungry. They're starving. If you think about that in light of the pilgrims, that first winter was described by William Bradford as the starving time. Only 12 of the original 26 fathers made it through that winter. Only 4 of the original 12 bachelors and boys made it through, and only a few women made it. It was the starving time. They were wandering, they were hungry, they were starving. The sea is another example of something that's beyond our control. Mighty waters stirred up tempests, lifting waves as high as mountains and then plunging into the depths. We also have two examples of suffering and trouble and difficulty that we face sometimes because of our own sin or as a consequence and direct result of our sin. Verse 10 talks about those who are in prison. Some sat in the darkness of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons. Why are they imprisoned? Why are they enslaved? Well, you can think of Israel being hauled off into exile because of their sin. The other example that we have is of sickness, verse 17 through 22. And the reason is some were fools in their sinful ways. And the result is this iniquity, this suffering, this affliction. Verse 43 talks about how if you're wise, let them attend, let them heed these things. But here in verse 17, they're not, they're foolish. And they're suffering the result, the consequences of that sin. Now, we here today, this morning, have experienced difficulties or troubles or are living through difficulties and troubles. And it's hard or even impossible to pinpoint exactly, well, is that because of our weakness and inability, outside circumstances, or is that a direct result, a consequence of sin? The way that Psalm 107 is putting that, this, explaining this, is a mixture of both. You have these four examples of troubles and difficulties, and the way that it's translated and written out might lead us to think, wow, it's four different experiences. The wandering in the desert and the sitting in prison and the disease and the sickness and then the sea experience. But the reality is that Psalm 107 is all describing the Exodus, being brought home after that. It's one experience just from four different perspectives. We go through trouble, don't we? We've experienced it. We live through it. We're living through it. Whether it's broken relationships or broken homes or experiencing the death of a loved one, the suffering, the hurting, and the brokenness. Now, you might not literally be wandering around in a desert wasteland, lost and hungry, but you still might be feeling or experiencing that same loneliness, that same feeling of where can I turn, that same unsettledness. This morning you're not literally sitting in a prison cell or enslaved or have the shackles on your wrists and on your ankles, but the bondage that you may be suffering is from an addiction you can't shake. Whether that's alcohol or drugs or pornography. Maybe you're rebelling against the words of the Lord and experiencing the painful results, the darkness and the deepest gloom that's being described here. Or when you read the part about the sailors at sea and the storm that comes up, verse 25 through 27, they're being tossed around and they're literally at their wits' end. Maybe you can relate to that. Maybe your life right now feels more like a storm-tossed sea than quiet waters. Financial problems or conflicts at work, fights within your family, maybe to the point where you're not so excited about the get-together this afternoon. And what this psalm is telling us is that no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through, we as God's people need to remember and keep in mind that it doesn't end in trouble and suffering. Lost in the desert, suffering in chains, near death because of sickness or at their wits' end. What do they do? Then they cried out to the Lord and experienced His deliverance. And that's our second point this morning. We go from the trouble that we face to the deliverance that we experience. After all of this trouble that we read about in this psalm, you might be thinking, well, what do the Israelites have to be thankful for? Or pilgrims for that matter. Why is that the psalm that they read? What are they thankful for? What are we thankful for? The resounding refrain again and again in this psalm is God's deliverance. Four times throughout this psalm we hear the refrain, four times just to drive it home. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble and He delivered them from their distress. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble and He delivered them from their... Then they cried to the Lord in their distress and He delivered them from their trouble. And they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. With each of these four refrains, crying out to the Lord, crying out for His deliverance, what we see is God's deliverance, His rescue, His healing, His saving from four different angles. Desert, they're lost, they're wandering in the desert, verse 6, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress, and here we have Him delivering them, rescuing, the lost are now found, snatching them, bringing them home, deliverance, they were lost, they were hungry, tired, and He saved them, He delivered them, verse 7, led them and brought them to a place to live, a city to dwell in. Prison, enslaved, captive, verse 13, they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. He set them free, set the prisoner free. In terms of being in prison, in terms of being enslaved, we're talking about salvation here, or being set free from the chains of sin. Verse 14, brought them out of darkness and deepest gloom, and broke away their chains. Burst their bonds apart. Sickness, weakness. Verse 19, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. He healed them. He rescued them from that ailment they were suffering from. Verse 20, He sent out His word and healed them. Fourth example we have is of the sea, of the chaos, of the turbulence. And what is the response? They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He brought them out of their distress. He brought them out of the storm. The storm is stilled. The waves are hushed, calming the storm, settling down the waves, and what? Bringing them to their haven. Bringing them to the port. Bringing them to safety. And so what we see in this psalm is that each of these aspects of suffering is answered by God's redemption, answered by God's deliverance, answered by God's salvation, answered by God's healing and rescuing. Suffering is not the end, people of God, because our Lord saves. Whether you're lost, whether you're enslaved, whether you're sick, or whether you're storm-tossed, the answer is found in turning to the Lord, crying out to the Lord, and knowing, anticipating the deliverance that is ultimately ours in Jesus Christ. That's where we see the ultimate expression of this salvation, healing, redemption, rescue. In Christ, providing a home for those who are lost and wandering. He's the one who's setting the captives free. The one who heals the sick, even if it's a consequence of my sin. He's the one who can calm the storm just like He did with the disciples. It's God's goodness. It's His never-ending, unfailing love. His chesed, we've talked about that Hebrew word for love before. His covenantal faithfulness, never-changing, never-ending love. And that's the foundation. That's why we're giving thanks. It's because of the love of the Lord. His never-ending, steadfast love. The trouble that we face, the deliverance that we experience. And now third and finally, as we wrap up this morning, the thanks that we give. Thanksgiving is not about us looking at our homelessness or our wandering in the desert or our imprisonment or our sickness or our tossed around at sea and being thankful for that circumstance. Being thankful that I'm in prison. Rather, thanksgiving is being thankful in spite of those things. Because my thankfulness doesn't lie in the situation that I find myself in, but rather our thankfulness is found in God's deliverance, in His salvation. Thankfulness is found in the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from trouble. Those He has redeemed, Christ as our Redeemer, the debt has been paid, we've been set free, the one who paid our debt brought us back into relationship, Jesus Christ. And there we see the root of this thanksgiving. It's focusing on Him and what He's done for you, rather than focusing on yourself and what you're experiencing or living through. And it's only when our focus is on the Lord that we can then be thankful, even in the middle of the storms of life. Just like those pilgrims, you look at their situation, well, what do you have to be thankful for? It's not about the situation as much as it is about the Savior. And it's not a result. Thankfulness is not a result of the things that happen to us, but rather it is an intentional response to what God has done for us. Don't try to work up or manipulate some way to be thankful by looking at yourself. This Thanksgiving, let's focus on the Lord rather than ourselves. That's the only way we can truly celebrate Thanksgiving, is by looking to the salvation, the deliverance that we have in Jesus Christ. You know that you have trouble. You know the trouble you faced. You know the trouble you've lived through or are living through. Now, take a moment to recognize and remember how God has delivered you from that trouble, or how He's going to deliver you, set you free, bring you home, heal you. And in light of that, respond with thanks. Four times again in this psalm, we have a refrain. It's singing this refrain just to drive it home. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for the wondrous works to the children of men. You have it repeated four times. Verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, verse 31. Each section of trouble and suffering is accompanied by a declaration of God's deliverance, His salvation, His healing, His rescue, and then a response of thanksgiving. Let them give thanks. Why? Because things worked out exactly the way I wanted. No, let them give thanks because of the love of the Lord, because of the salvation, because of the deliverance that we have, because of His unfailing love. Psalm 107, as we wrap up this morning, is described as the pilgrim psalm because it captures the experiences that they had. The wandering, the hungry, the suffering in prison, the sickness, the being tossed around by the sea. But yet they still gave thanks. Because of the deliverance, because of the salvation that they had in the Lord their God. And that's why this psalm is our psalm as well. No matter what life throws at us, we can still give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love, His wonderful deeds for us. The deliverance, the salvation, the healing, the redemption that we have in Jesus Christ. It's His love that brings us home when we're lost. It's His unfailing love that sets us free when we're in prison. It's His love that heals us when we are sick. And it is His love that brings us peace in the storms of life. And that's why, people of God, we're giving thanks. Not just today, but every day. Because it doesn't end in suffering. It ends in God's deliverance. His never-ending, never-failing, steadfast, covenantal love. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, You know, O Lord, what we are facing and what we are going through. The difficulties, the troubles, the sufferings, the hurts of our hearts. But Lord, you also are the one who responds with deliverance and salvation when we cry out. And so, Lord, hear our cry for mercy. Hear our cry for salvation, for healing, for rescue. And answer our prayer in Jesus Christ. And let us respond with thanksgiving. Giving thanks to you, our Lord, for you are good. Declaring and praising that your steadfast love endures forever. Lord, hear our prayer as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.